Pues mientras Chiara lo prepara, os lo introduzco brevemente. Chiara Ferracini, entomóloga italiana también de la Universidad de Turín, uno de los miembros de los grandes equipos, de los equipos italianos de investigación y aportar soluciones desde el punto de vista entomológico, con quien trabajó Ambra también, me parece, en su paso por la Universidad de Turín, y bueno, una de las referencias también en la materia para todos nosotros. Pues cuando quieras, Ambra. Chiara, perdón.
Gracias. Good morning to everyone. My talk is about the effective biological control of the chestnut gall wasp in Italy. Biological control is part of the IPM strategies, and it is defined as the reduction of a pest population by natural enemies. In many cases, we have to consider that the complex of natural enemies associated with a particular pest may be inadequate. And this is especially clear when a new pest is accidentally introduced in an area without its associated natural enemy complex. So this is very important, talking about exotic pests, also called alien pests. There are many examples worldwide of successful classical biological control programs. And these programs are in particular successful when we have a successful biocontrol agent, the BCAs, why they are so called. And so why, when a BCA is a good candidate, we have to remark some important considerations, such as a high reproductive rate, a good searching ability, host specificity, a good adaptability to different environmental conditions, and it's also important that the agent must be well synchronized with the host. So many classical biological programs have been practiced worldwide, both towards pests and weeds, in Italy too, and one of the most successful and recent examples in Italy is the one towards the Asian chestnut gall wasp. As already presented by the other speakers, this pest is native to China. Then it established in Japan, Korea, USA, and Nepal, and Canada too. And it was first reported in Europe in 2002. This is the European distribution. So it was recorded in northwestern Italy in 2002. And then it very rapidly spread south in Italy. It was able to infest a lot of chestnut growing areas, and by now it is reported in 13 European countries. Very recent are the reports for Spain, Portugal, and Turkey. As already said, it affects, it's one of the most serious pests for chestnut, and in Europe it affects the sweet chestnut, the Castanea sativa species, which is a multipurpose tree species, very important for the edible nuts, the durable timber, the landscape value. And this plant is one of the most important broad-leaved species in Italy. Chestnut stands amount to almost 800,000 hectares, which represents the 9% of the Italian forests. And the pest endangered chestnut, both in orchards and coppices. This is the pest. It is a Telitocosa univoltine species, and it is native to China. The female lay eggs in buds during bud burst, and then we have the larvae induced the formation of galls, of greenish-red galls, which are present next year during spring. The consequence of the infestation are the suppression of shoot elongation, a tweed dieback, and general yield losses. In northern Italy, yield losses have been estimated to reach up to 85%. So due to the report of the pest in 2002, to the strong tradition of the chestnut in our region, and due to the successful experience in Japan and USA, a collaboration with Dr. Moria, with a Japanese researcher, started in 2003, and the parasitoid was first released in open field in 2005. This is the parasitoid, Turimus sinensis. It is native to China as its host, and the female lays the eggs inside the galls, inside the fresh galls, the uniform galls. The larvae feeds externally on the larva of the Biocosmos corypheus. Then pupation occurs during winter, and next spring we have the emergence of the new adults, of the new progeny. Here you can see what is inside a wither gall after dissection. So we have some stages of the insect in a mature larva and a young pupa in the top left and right, and then a mature pupa and an adult, the female, in the bottom left and right. Thanks to the collaboration with Dr. Moria, with the Japanese researchers, the insect was imported in Italy. It was released at the beginning in three sites in 2005, and this parasitoid was able to establish very successfully, forming stable population. And so we were able, through the collection of wither galls, we were able to obtain new parasitoids to be released in area, in other infested chestnut growing areas in Italy, not only in Piedmont, in our region, but also in all the other Italian regions. This is a moment of the release. And due to the urgent need to face this problem, to face this pest, the Italian Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Forestry Policies set up a sort of guidelines in order to perform a biological control to chestnut gall wasp in Italy, in all the country. The partners involved were the Ministry, the University of Turin, concerning the rearing and the supply of the parasitoid, the regions and the phytosanitary services, and it was created also a scientific technical group in order to coordinate all the regional activities. But the major task of this guideline was to supply and to release the parasitoid in all the affected chestnut areas. So, to do so, the Italian Ministry funded two projects, which is they are called the Lobicin Project in 2012 and the BioInfocast Project in a two-year period, 2013 and 14. And according to this project, a specific number of Torimus sinensis released was assigned for each region according to specific parameters. You can see here a list of the most important ones which were considered. And these parameters were the hectares of chestnut wood surface area, the hectares of chestnut orchards surface area, the chestnut yields, and the presence of typical products, which were protected denominations of origins and protected geographical indication, the so-called DOP and IGP products. So according to these specific parameters, for each region, a specific number of releases was assigned. You can see the red number for each region. And in total, in the three-year period, 2012-2014, 1,669 release points were performed throughout the country. Each release point consisted of about 110-120 females, 55 and 60 males. So in total, in this three period for these two projects, almost 300,000 Torimus sinensis were released all over the country. This is a comparison. You can see in the top left graph already presented by Dr. Moria. This is a comparison between the Japanese situation and the Italian situation concerning, as Italy, northwestern Italy, that is to say the sites in which the parasitoid was first released. You can see in blue the chestnut gall wasp population line, and the red line show the Torimus sinensis population. So you can see that when the red line grows up, the blue line decreases very, very rapidly. And in Piedmont, we have the same trend, and this same trend of the Japanese situation was observed in a seven-year period. This is a comparison between the same site. The picture refers to the same site, and the picture was taken in 2005, and then after 7 years in 2012. As you can see, it's difficult to find galls on the plants, on the shoot. Also, in this picture, you can see that plants are in good health, normally where when an infestation occurs, we can find a lot of galls on the suckers at the base of the plant. And in this case, you can see that there are no galls on the suckers. In the top right, you can see an image of a plant during blossom. And in the bottom right, you can see that there are some galls, but they are smaller. And they didn't stop the development of the bud, but they are just located, they are smaller, and they are located along the leaf vein. Here is another picture of chestnut in good health, and here during blossom. And in general, we can say that Pterhymus sinensis was well synchronized with its host, it settled successfully, and it was able to significantly reduce the gall wasp outbreaks because it's, as listed before, a good BCA, a good biological control agent for its remarkable dispersal, for its host location abilities, and also for its good adaptation to our environmental climatic condition. And as you saw in the two graphs presented before, the trend of the number of the parasitoid females calculated for 100 galls and the infestation rate was completely in line with the Japanese experience. So what about the native natural enemies? In literature, specifically in Italy, 38 species of native calcid wasp parasitoid are reported. They are parasitoids which generally attack galls induced by other gall wasps, generally on oaks, the genus Quercus. These species belong to six different families, you can see listed here. And we found also some native Pterhymus species in Italy. You can see some pictures below. But in general, the attack rates of this native parasitoid have remained very, very low, even many years after the arrival of the pest. So on average, we have a parasitization rate by natural enemies which is less than 2-3%. As already introduced before by Ambra, a novel insight in the life cycle of Pterhymus sinensis was revealed. In fact, in 2012, wither galls were dissected after Pterhymus sinensis emergence. And during dissection, the presence of live Pterhymus sinensis individuals, both larvae and pupae, was observed. That is why in 2013, we performed some studies. We chose five sites in northwestern Italy. We collect galls were collected, were stored in rearing boxes and kept in outdoor conditions. And then after the emergence of the parasitoid, a part were dissected at the microscope, as you can see here, and a part was stored until the diapausan individual's emergence next year, and then dissected. All the live individuals that we found, larvae, pupae, and adults, were identified by molecular identification and molecular analysis. And with the live individuals, we performed behavioral tests in control conditions. So we observed their behavior for 1 hour. Diapausan females and males were individually put in petri dishes in order to evaluate mating. We evaluated if they were able to mate. And if mating occurred, female were individually put in petri dishes containing fresh chestnut gall to see if they were able to lay eggs. We perform also some measurements in order to study the fitness of the diapausan individuals, and so we measure the pronotum width, the heat tibia length, comparing the univoltine population and the diapausan ones for males and for females. And then for females, we measure the ovipositor sheath length, always comparing univoltine and diapausan. So what about the results we obtained? We collected 5,000 galls in the survey sites, And in all the sites, Torimus sinensis exhibited a prolonged diapause, mainly as late instar larva. All the live individuals that we find were proved to be Torimus sinensis species also through morphological identification and molecular analysis. And what about the gall that we stored? From these galls we obtained the diapausing adults exactly, as you can see here, highlighted in red, during spring, together with the normal population, the univoltine population, in spring during April, May. So this is a part of the results that we obtain. You can see in the first part of the table the results concerning the dissected galls and below the results of the stored galls. In general, about 80 Torimus sinensis emerged every 100 cells. We found live larvae and pupae diapausing. There was only one site, the site of Robilante, in which no pupae occurred, but in general we found always larvae and pupae, with a majority of larvae. There was a striking variability between among the sites surveyed, but in general, in the dissected gall, we found about 2 diapausing individuals every 100 cells. This value decreased a lot in the gall stored, because at the end, in the gall stored, we just had 0.4 in diapausing individuals. What about the measurements? The diapausing individuals were able to mate each other and to lay fertile eggs, showing the same behavior of the univoltine generation, but they were smaller. They proved to be smaller according to the pronotum width, the hind tibia length, and also the ovipositor sheath. And so in all cases, significant differences were observed comparing univoltine and diapausing and comparing males and females. So in conclusion, we can say that since the time of the first release of the parasitoid in open field in 2005, the population of the host dramatically decreased. And so an important limited of food availability was observed. That is why this may be a reason for the observation of this diapause in open field. The striking variability that we observed among the different sites is important because for the future survey, we have to study different sites concerning temperature, relative humidity, and rainfall in order to compare these features. And the presence of a parasitoid reservoir consisted of larvae and pupae inside wither galls is important also for growers of chestnut, because it's important to consider that maybe some individuals, some larvae and pupae may remain in the chestnut inside the galls even when the univoltine population is already emerged. So it's important when not to remove a pruning discard from the chestnut, or it's important to consider that all the part of the plants bearing galls, such as suckers, such as branches, may contain some live Torimus sinensis inside. So, as ongoing research, future studies will be performed over a long period of time in sites different with different parasitism rates and with different environmental conditions in order to clarify if this behavior is increasing in relevance or not. Thank you for your attention. Gracias.
Gracias, Chiara. ¿Pregunta? ¿Ninguna pregunta? Yo una, Chiara, solamente. Del estudio del señor Morilla se detectaba un repunte cada 8 años de la población de Driocosmos. ¿Ese seguimiento lo tenéis previsto realizar en las zonas para donde habéis introducido el Torimus? hace para comprobar ese repunte del Dryocosmos cada 10 años o cada...
For the moment, we just have this 7-8 period of time, this window of time. So we don't know in the future which, how will be the trend of the lines. But we are performing some mathematical models in order to have an idea of the trend of the two population in the future. But results are ongoing, so I don't have this data yet. Thank you.
Una última una pregunta de aquí del señor Gómez Laranjo.
Hola, bueno, vosotros habéis tenido Dryocosmos a 2002. Vosotros habéis tenido Dryocosmos a 2002. Habéis empezado las largadas a 2008, 2009, ¿verdad? Y ahora 2006, sí. ¿Puedes decir ahora, pasados estos años todos, 8, cuál es la queda de la producción italiana ahora mismo, después de estos tratamientos, de estas largadas todas? ¿Cuál es la estimativa de la producción actual comparativamente con la producción de antes de la Dryocosmos?
As already before, we have in the site in northwestern Italy, in which we have the site where the parasitoid was first released, we have a completely changed situation. So Dryocosmos population is very, very low. And if you think about the graph, we calculated an infestation rate in that site about 1%, 1-2%.
Is normal.
No more. Yeah.
And in south.
But concerning the production, we have, as already said before, other variability, and so maybe there may be other causes that influence the production, maybe reduce the production, the yield, which is not the chestnut gold wasp infestation. Okay.
But the production attributed to the Dryocosmos now is more or less is very low. Actually,
yeah, in that site is very low, and we recorded a parasitism rate about of the parasitoid about 80%, in some cases 90%, and so yes.
Even north and in south.
Of Italy?
Yes.
No. Just in northwestern Italy. Okay. And then in the other part, there are other regions in which parasitism rate reached high values, but it depends on when the parasitoid have been released.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.